We've got a new pen to see if we can actually tape the homily, so I'm trying to figure out how it works. So if you see me kind of, my zibbe will be open a little bit, and I would like, hopefully, it to record. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Well, welcome. This is the fifth and final Sunday of Great Lent. Next Sunday, when you are together for your matin service, after your feast of the entrance into Jerusalem of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will begin your Passion Week. You will begin the true, hardcore fast. This was preparation. Can you believe it? That it was preparation. Fast is an interesting word. So often we begin the fast, and we concentrate so much on meat, dairy, cheeses, what we can't have, as opposed to what we do get. Meat is not a sin. Meat was given to us. Cheese is not a sin. It was given to us. Otherwise, we would never be able to participate. Simple portions is what we were called to do. The fast is about the whole body, not just what goes into it, obviously. The fast is not turning your head if you see a beautiful person walk by. The fast is not commenting if you don't like what someone is doing necessarily, but it is not harmful to anybody. The fast is not even listening to gossip when you don't know if it is true or not. The fast is not running to a play when you could be in church. Those things are where we sin by not fasting. That is the true meaning of not fasting. The true meaning of not fasting is not using the medicine given by the greatest doctor, the number one doctor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But when we take this medicine, we need to listen to what the Desert Fathers have said that has disseminated down through your priests. Because sometimes, like any medicine, we may take it and not know what it's for. We may take it for the wrong thing and become sicker. We may choose to not eat meat and hate coming to church. That's not how we take this medicine. The fast is to beautify ourselves on the inside out. The fast is to take away our greed for power. The fast is to grow in Christ. Now, many of you heard from your fathers, your spiritual fathers today, either on the life of St. Mary of Egypt, on the gospel, maybe a little of both. Maybe integrated the epistle, but I'm sure they all integrated the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And I'm sure they've all integrated the gospel. An important point in the gospel was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. They wanted to be on the right hand and on the left hand when he entered into the kingdom of heaven. What's so wrong with that? What's so wrong with going to your teacher and saying, I want to learn so much, and I've learned so much, I don't want to be away from you. You're doing the right thing. I want to be there with you, so you know what? Come on, take me. Take me with you, please. I want to go with you, and I want to be on your other side. Yeah. One problem. There were 10 other brothers there. What about them? What about them? Then what happened to the 10 other brothers? Did they appreciate that? No. How do you leave us behind when we've traveled, we've eaten with you, we've studied with you, we are disciples with you? But what did Christ say? First he said, can you drink of my cup, this cup that I will drink of? Then can you participate in the baptism I will participate in? But for my right and my left, that is not my decision. But really, could they participate in the cup? Could they participate in the cup? Today is a foretelling of what's going to happen what we're all going to participate in the service next week. Who stood with Christ and even prayed with him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was alone? When the devil tempted him, which disciple was with him? Which apostle was with him? None. Not one could even go pray with him. Where was James and John? They couldn't drink of that cup. Even Christ said, if this cup can pass this over me, let it. But if it is the will, I will accept it. Father Thomas Hopko made a very, very good point about that. I used to read that as a in my 20s, even my early 30s, and thought, wow, you know, he did come as a man. He was scared. We see the shows, we see the tears, we see the blood, and I thought to myself, he did come as man. He can endure this, but he was in a lot of pain. And the Jews say, what kind of God would you believe in that was sacrificed by God? Our God wouldn't do that to anybody, so he can't be the Messiah. Father Thomas Hopko made a very interesting point. He was not afraid of this death. He was not running from this death. See, when all of this was foretold in the Old Testament that this was going to happen, Christ was already present. He was present in the Old Testament. He was present in the Trinity in the book of Genesis. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, he was so upset that the world had come to this that he had to come and deal with this sin. He was so saddened that we lost our way, that this had to be done. Not that he was scared to do it. He was more than prepared to do it. The most painful, the most harsh, the most inconceivable, horrific death beyond what any of us will ever suffer, just to resurrect so that we can have life eternal. But even James and John, there's no way that they even stuck around to participate in that cup. But eventually they would. We all participate in the communion of our Lord, in the baptism of our Lord. Every day we participate in a rebaptism if you go seek confession and repentance. Repentance, the key, the one word that's so critical to this season. We learned so much today on the life of Saint Mary of Egypt, of what true repentance is, of what it is to let yourself grow in the beauty of Christ from the inside out as opposed to the outside in. So often today we look at Hollywood, we look at even people in our own communities, we strive to be young, we get anti-wrinkle cream so we can look beautiful, but what's happening on the inside? What's happening on the inside? We have surgery, we change our nose, we go through severe pain sometimes. We remove moles that we don't want there just because they look, doctor, please take it off, it's on my face. I mean, I can't be seen like this. We put cover-up and concealer on. St. Mary of Egypt didn't care about the outward appearance once she started to repent. She cared about how she looked inside, because it is what's inside that God is looking at. It is on the inside that gets you into the kingdom of heaven, not the outside. Because eventually we will all be bereft of form. We will all rot. We will all decompose. But when we try and clean the outside only, it is much like when we bury today. When we bury people today, they do not decompose anymore, because we have to make them a beautiful coffin. We have to put them in a beautiful vault. We have to get a liner so the worms don't come in, so the water stays out. The body today does not rot. It putrefies. Putrefying is basically just this mush of not even decomposition. What good is it to look so beautiful on the outside, but be void, mush, putrefied on the inside because we don't trust in the Lord and everything that's happened. We saw her extreme beauty, that even the holy Zosimus had to bow down before her. The Holy Father that went to the desert, who she knew his name, prostrated before her because the countenance, the light of Christ, illumined through her. And what did she want from him? Just one thing. She wanted the Eucharist, and she wanted his prayers. How often is that all we ask of our brothers and sisters in Christ? How often do we not say, can you help me with this? And then they ask something back, well, I can't because, you know, I've got tickets to this. Or they want us to come to their things, but yet we say, come join me on Sunday. But, well, you know, we're going to have people over. It's Sunday night. We're there for the liturgy. How often do we ask each other to pray for us? Is that a daily part of our lives? This is the true entrance into the kingdom of heaven. These are the true tools that we can give to one another. And when you ask someone to pray for you, it softens the heart. When you ask someone to pray for you, it generates a love for one another. You are no longer strangers when you ask someone to pray for you. For when you do and you don't ask for that, you start to grow apart. And when you start to grow apart, that's when all of this doesn't matter. What we're doing tonight does not matter. If we do not eat meat, says St. John Chrysostom, but we devour our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have sinned. We might as well eat the steak. We might as well break open the lamb today because we've eaten. We have become carnivorous. So often we have to concentrate on what comes out more so than what goes in. Now, my dear fathers, I am not telling any of you to break your fast tonight. That's not the point of this. Continue on your fast. Your fast is a tool. Portions, moderation, that is the true meaning of the fast. A little hunger in the belly gives the fervor and the hunger to do God's work and makes it more prevalent on the mind because we're not fat and happy. It makes us yearn, it gives us more energy to go after the life of Christ and become closer. There will be one challenge. The neighborhood before the kingdom of heaven will tempt you. The neighborhood just before you reach the kingdom of heaven will be so temptuous. The closer you become to Christ, that it will be hard for some to not fall. Who tempted Christ before his hour of death? The devil. He came himself. So why is he not going to come after you, 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 you? But you do have a tool. You have your priest. You have the prayers. You have the Desert Fathers. You have communion with your Lord. And you have forgiveness. Because don't forget, the publican did not fast. But he was forgiven. The Pharisee did fast. And he was not. The Ninevites found grace with God by their fasting. The Jews were exiled out and they fasted. It's not just about what goes in, it's what comes out. Use the glory and the glorification of everything you have had, taken, learned these past 40 days. To come closer to the kingdom of God. And when you fall, go to the physician. Get your medicine. Let them help you. Take it like you're supposed to. Grow well. Make your soul invincible and let your body go. The outward appearance does not get you into the kingdom of heaven. It's what's in the heart and what's on the inside. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we complete this fast, love one another. Ask for the prayers of those sitting next to you. Run to the Passion Week together. Enjoy the feast that has been, that will be laid for you. Remember the words of St. John Chrysostom, from those who have fasted from the beginning to those that didn't fast until the 11th hour. Enjoy the rewards Christ has given to you, but my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, first and foremost, be there for one another. That is how we get into the kingdom of heaven. For we cannot love Christ without loving each other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.